Thank you for coming, for being here on a holiday weekend, for a stormy, rainy Sunday. And what a great reminder, Rob, that even if it's dark clouds outside, we still can rest in the light of Jesus Christ and His righteousness. We have a picture up here of Ben Franklin. And I don't know how much you know about Ben Franklin, but one of our founding fathers, a brilliant, brilliant man. And in fact, there's a movie coming out here pretty soon about Ben Franklin and George Whitefield, a friend of his who was a great preacher in the 1700s. He came over from England in the 1700s and was influential. You mute the pulpit mic, I think that's what's going on there. And this George Whitefield was influential in the founding of America. Not just him, but a lot of preachers in that time, and they don't get the credit that they were due. But George Whitefield and Ben Franklin were good friends. Ben Franklin grew up in a Christian home. But then when he became a teenager, he left Christianity. He moved to England, and he became a deist. Now, a deist is somebody that believes in God. They just don't believe that God cares about what's going on in the world. Basically, they believe that God created the universe, created the earth, created mankind, and they just kind of went on vacation. And he has no influence in the affairs of man. And a lot of people are like Ben Franklin, and they believe that. They may not say it out loud if you were to ask them. In fact, a lot of Christians kind of live their lives that way. They show up on Sunday, but the rest of the week they live as if God's just out there somewhere and He doesn't care. I've done some reading on Ben Franklin, and there's strong evidence that Ben Franklin, at the end of his life, near the end of his life, came back to Jesus and did become a Christian. I don't know for sure. I've not done a deep dive into Ben Franklin. And I certainly pray that that is true. And I certainly pray that each and every one of you here today do not believe in just a deistic God that doesn't care. Because God cares for you as an individual. And He is interested in what's going on in your life day to day. And if you're not here today and you do not know Jesus as Lord and Savior, I pray that today is that day that you come to know Him. Well, we're going to talk about God cares today, and we're going to be in Daniel chapter 2 here in just a moment. But before we go to Daniel chapter 2, I want to read to you what God says in the book of Hebrews chapter 1 verse 1. Says, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets. He's saying that God in the past spoke to our ancestors through the prophets. And you know the prophets of the Old Testament, and He did it in many ways. He did a lot of different things in the Old Testament, and He spoke in times past that way. But now, in these last days, the days that you and I are living in, He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the worlds, Jesus His Creator, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins on the cross, it doesn't, sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as He has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. See, God is not just this being in the sky who just simply exists out there, and He's doing His own thing, and He's left us to do our own thing, as the deist would present. God is a God who cares. God cares enough that when you and I walked away from Him, He sent His one and only Son, Jesus Christ, the second person of the Holy Trinity, who put on a body so He could talk to you and He could talk to me so that we could see what God is like. And today, God speaks through His Son, Jesus Christ. And through the Word of God, the Bible is the written Word of God. The Bible is the written form of Jesus Christ Himself. And so God cares so much about you that He wrote an entire book to talk to you about Himself. And then He came to earth and put on a body like yours so that we could touch and feel and hear Him. That God cares for you. And He cares for everyone around you. And as we look at Daniel chapter 2 today, we are going to look how that God cares, not just for Daniel, but for Nebuchadnezzar, the king, as well. And in Daniel chapter 2, Verse 1 says, "Now, in the second year of Nebuchadnezzar's reign, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams, and his spirit was so troubled that his sleep left him." He didn't have just plain old ordinary dreams like you and I have. Now, I don't really remember my dreams very often. Very seldom will I wake up and actually remember a dream, but a lot of people can remember them vividly. But this kind of dream that he had, he knew this something different about this dream. It troubled him deeply. Now, he didn't understand about the true and living God at this point, but he understood that there was a God, there was a supernatural power, there was something out there speaking to him, and it bothered him so much. And so he goes to all of his spiritual advisors, and we're not going to read the entire scriptures today. We're going to have to skip some of it because it is so long. You can read it all yourself later, but we'll cover the parts. So he goes, when he gets up from his dream and he can't sleep, he goes to the magicians, the astrologers, all of the spiritual advisors, and says, "Look, I've had a dream. I want you to tell me what the dream is, and then I want you to interpret the dream for me." And they're thinking, "Are you crazy? Nobody can tell you what you dreamed." And they pushed back and they're like, "King, you need to tell us what the dream is and then we'll interpret it." But see, I think this had happened before. We're not told this, but I kind of think so. The way King Nebuchadnezzar reacts, he's like, "Yeah, we've done this a little bit before. I've told you a dream before and you've interpreted it for me, but it didn't come true." He knew that they were a bunch of con men. Bunch of false prophets. And he sensed that they weren't exactly right. So he goes, "This time I'm putting you to the test. You're going to tell me what the dream is and then you're going to interpret it." And they're like, "No, we can't do that." Well, then the king answers. He says, "I know for certain that you would gain the time." He's like, "You guys are stalling because you see that my decision is firm. If you do not make known the dream to me, there is only one decree for you. For you have agreed to speak lying and corrupt words before me till the time has changed. Therefore, tell me the dream, and I shall know that you can give me its interpretation." He's like, "You guys are stalling, and you've already agreed that you're just going to make up something to make me happy, and then you're going to hope that time passes, and I'm going to forget all about the dream, and everything will be good." He said, "I'm telling you right now, if you can't tell me what the dream is and its interpretation, you're all dead men." Now, this happens to include Daniel and his three friends because they were part of the spiritual advisors of the country. Well, the Chaldeans who are there, Daniel and his friends are not a part of this cabinet meeting. The Chaldeans answered the king and they said, "There's not a man on earth who can tell the king's matter. Therefore, no king, lord, or ruler has ever asked such things of any magician, astrologer, or Chaldean. It is a difficult thing that the king requests, and there is no other who can tell it to the king except the gods, whose dwelling is not with flesh." Excuse me. "For this reason, the king was angry and very furious and gave the command to destroy all the wise men of Babylon." And this includes Daniel and his friends. But the first thing I noticed as I went through this passage and I thought about these things, I see that God cares. And because God cared about Nebuchadnezzar, God spoke to Nebuchadnezzar. And God cares about the lost people in your life today. And God speaks to them as well. God speaks to mankind. God tells us, Jesus tells us that no man comes to the Father unless the Father draws him. The Holy Spirit draws. The Holy Spirit speaks into people's lives. Romans 1 speaks about this in a lot of detail. And so God speaks to the unbeliever. God speaks to you. And when God speaks to man, it creates conflict. And for a Christian, we understand this as Christians. God speaks to us, but our sin nature is like, "Yeah, I don't really want to do that." And so our sin nature pushes back against God speaking to our lives, and it creates conflict. Only for the Christian, we got the Holy Spirit dwelling within us, and the Holy Spirit pushes back against the sin nature. And for the Christian that surrenders to the Holy Spirit, we defeat our sin nature in that moment, and we have that conflict. But for the unbeliever, they don't have the Holy Spirit dwelling within them, pushing back against that. They have God speaking to them from the outside, but they still feel the conflict. And if you know people and the Holy Spirit's working in their lives, you know sometimes they're like the king. The king got irritated. He got angry. He got frustrated. And many times people in your life are going to get irritated, and all you did was share the plan of salvation. All you did was plant a nice gospel seed. All you did was speak the truth of the Word of God in love, and yet now they're irritated. More than likely, they're irritated because of the conflict going inside of them, not because of you. This is why we must learn to be patient and allow God to work. We also must be ready to help the unbeliever. When God speaks to the unbeliever, like He spoke to Nebuchadnezzar, they don't understand. Because it is the Holy Spirit of God dwelling within a believer that helps them understand God. And you and I as Christians, Peter tells us that we got to be ready to help them understand. And you and I must be equipped, must be prepared to preach the truth, speak the gospel, explain the truths of the Word of God to the unbeliever when God speaks into their lives. And so Nebuchadnezzar hears God, he's troubled, and he wants an answer. And I love what the Chaldeans, I love what his astrologers and his spiritual advisors said. Let's go back real quick. It says the Chaldeans answered the king and said, "There's not a man on earth who can tell the king's matter." Now, is that true or false? That's true. There wasn't a man on earth that could tell the king what he dreamed. They were speaking truth about that part. Then look what they said a little bit later. They go this, "Well, nobody can do it except the gods whose dwelling is not with flesh." Now they're getting close to the truth. Not the gods that they believed in, but there is a God that can tell Nebuchadnezzar what his dream was and what it meant. And so I love this right here. The Chaldeans, they set this up on a T for Daniel. Nobody can do this except for God's what they said. And we get to watch Daniel come along and see that baseball sitting right there on that T and knocks it right out of the ballpark. God was already moving. He spoke to Nebuchadnezzar, and the false teachers inadvertently spoke into Nebuchadnezzar as well. They're already admitting, we can't do it, but there is somebody that can. And so let's remember, God cares for you. And last week, we talked about faithfulness and how faithfulness wins, did we not? You need to remember that faithfulness wins, because there is no Daniel in chapter 2 without the faithful Daniel in chapter 1. Daniel's faithfulness in chapter 1 plays a huge role in what happens next in chapter 2. So in the next section, verses 13 through 16, the military goes out, ordered by the king. Arioch, he's looking for Daniel. He's looking for his friends because they're going to round them all up and they're going to execute them all because nobody can do what the king asks, and the king is furious. And when the king gets mad, somebody dies. And so Daniel, his life is at stake now, and his friends' lives are at stake now, and they hadn't done anything to deserve it. Well, when Arioch, the military commander, finds Daniel, Daniel says, "Let me go talk to the king." Now, why was Daniel allowed to go talk to the king? I mean, you just don't show up in the king's palace unless you have some importance. Remember what happened in chapter 1? Daniel and his three friends, they stood faithful to God. They obeyed the commands of God. They obeyed the words of God. And even when they were thrown into the culture of an enemy world, they stood firm in their faith. And because they stood firm in their faith, God granted them favor. And then when Daniel and his friends stood before the king at the end of 3 years for their interview, what did it say about Daniel and his friends? That they were found 10 times better than everybody else. Daniel made an impression on Nebuchadnezzar in chapter 1 because he was faithful to God. And now this impression that Daniel made on Nebuchadnezzar in chapter 1 pays huge dividends in chapter 2 because now he can go talk to the king. My friend, you may not see the results of your faithfulness today in chapter 1 of your life. But if you will remain faithful, it will win. And there's going to come a time when your faithfulness then is going to pay dividends now. Remain faithful walking with your Lord and Savior Jesus, and it will pay dividends. And it might pay dividends in a moment where you had no idea was coming. So Daniel goes and talks to the king because he had stood out earlier. Well, then Daniel, after talking to the king sends him home and says, "All right, you say you can do this. I'll give you time to do it." Daniel went to his house And he made the decision known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they might seek mercies from the God of heaven concerning this secret, so that Daniel and his companions might not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. So the king says, all right, I'll give you some time. What does he do? He goes home, he finds his friends, and what does he do? He called a prayer meeting. He called his three friends up and said, look, things have gotten serious. Our lives are in danger. We need to hear from God today. Let's pray and let's seek the mercies of God. God cared about Nebuchadnezzar and he spoke to Nebuchadnezzar. God cared about Daniel and his friends and he spoke to his friends. But remember, Daniel and his three friends, they turned to God in prayer. We cannot overstate the importance of prayer in our lives. I know I talk about prayer a lot, but prayer is crucial to your journey. Prayer is crucial to your walk with Jesus Christ. You want peace, love, and joy in your life? You got to have a good, healthy prayer life. So Daniel calls up his friends. He says, let's pray. And this is a reminder. This Saturday, 9 a.m., we have a prayer meeting at church. The last Saturday of every month. Only a few people gather. I get here as often as I can, and I get it. There's people have lives, and I've missed a few, and I don't like missing. But you know what? Even if it's just a few of us, Jesus said, where two or three are gathered in my name, I'll be with them. Prayer is so crucial in our lives. But when we pray, let us learn. Let us learn to pray. And let us learn to pray immediately. What do I mean by this? You've all experienced this. This is something that God has worked in my heart and I'm trying to get better at. You come to church and one of your friends is talking to you and they say, would you pray for my niece? She's sick. Or would you pray for my spouse? Or would you pray for my cousin? Would you pray for X? You've all had people ask you to pray for them, right? What do we typically do? Yeah, I'll pray for you. That's not a bad thing. I think we need to change. Yes, I'll pray for you too. Let's pray right now. You want to up our prayer game at church, so to speak? And I think we have a pretty good church when it comes to prayer. I think it could be better. You want to up our game? I think it would be awesome at 10 to 11. There's two people here praying together because somebody has a need that's on their heart. And their friend said, I'm not going to wait and pray later. I'm going to pray immediately. Let's pray together. Or two or three friends gathered together praying at the prayer board. Or someone in the back praying together before the service, preparing their hearts to hear from the word of the Lord. Or praying after the service because somebody said something that happened in the morning service touched my heart and I need somebody to pray with me. Would you pray with me? And that friend says, yes. My friend, pray immediately. And I'm trying to get better at that. Someone walked into the church the other night before a life group, and they were talking to me, said, and they poured out their heart, and they said, would you pray for me? My first thought was, yes, I'll pray for you. And then I'm like, oh, wait a minute. I got Sunday coming. I better practice what I preached. And I loved it because we stopped in that moment, and we prayed at that moment. And I know, you know what? It feels a little uncomfortable, doesn't it? Well, you can be honest, right? For some of you, it feels uncomfortable. Praying out loud with your friend can be uncomfortable, but it is powerful. So pray immediately and also pray with an eternal perspective. Yes, pray for your friend's sickness. Jesus said, what does it profit a person if they gain the whole world and lose their soul? So when you pray, yes, pray for the physical, but also pray for the spiritual because the physical will pass, but the eternal lasts. So we need to pray with an eternal perspective. Pray with your fellow Christians. It is so important to gather in prayer with your brothers and sisters in Christ. There is power in prayer. And then pray till you get an answer. Don't pray until you get the answer you want. Because I promise you, you're not always going to get the answer you want. Amen. Pray until you get an answer. The answer might be a yes, it might be a no, it might be. Just hold off on that. We'll revisit that later. Not yet. But don't give up. Don't give up on that loved one you've been praying for that's lost. Don't give up praying for them. Keep praying that God will speak to them. And when you pray that God will speak to them, you pray for yourself that God, when they speak to them, give me the heart and the compassion and the eyes to see that you're speaking to them. And then give me the wisdom and the will to speak the truth to them in a way that draws them and points them to you. My friend, God cares, so let us pray. Well, guess what happens? Then the secret was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. This took some time for God to answer the prayer, but he did answer the prayer that night. And what did Daniel do when he got his answer to prayer? He went back to prayer and he turned his prayer into praise. Daniel blessed the Son, blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever." Does that sound familiar? Kind of sounds like what we were singing a minute ago, doesn't it? "Blessed be your glorious name." Praise God. And then he gets specific. "For wisdom and might are his." He praises him for his wisdom and his might. He recognizes that God is the one of wisdom and might. And he expands on that thought. God, he changes the times and the seasons. In other words, he controls the world. He removes kings and raises up kings. He controls this earth and those people in it. He gives wisdom to the wise. In other words, if somebody's wise, it's because God told them. And knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and secret things. God can speak into the life of a person in a way that you cannot. God knows what's going through their minds when they lay down at night and they can't sleep because they're troubled the way Nebuchadnezzar was troubled. You've been there yourself. You've laid down and stuff has just been on your heart and your mind and it's hard. And you don't share it with anybody. God knows the deep and secret things of the person's heart. He knows what's in the darkness. And light dwells with him. Daniel said, "I thank you and I praise you, O God of my fathers. You have given me wisdom and might and have now made known to me what we asked of you. For you have made known to us the king's command." So his prayers of acknowledgement of who God is and a recognition that it is God that is wise, and if I'm wise, it's only because it came from God. And then he gave prayers of specific praise, not just a general, "God, thank you for being good." We like to say God is good all the time, right? All the time. That's a good thing to remember. But when we praise God, we need to find specific things to thank him for. Praying specific praise prayers lifts the spirit. And so Daniel and his friends, they go back to the king. The king answers and he says to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, "Are you able to make known to me the dream which I have seen and its interpretation?" Daniel answered in the presence of the king, "The secret which the king has demanded, the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, and the soothsayers cannot declare to the king." He reminds the king, remember, none of those other guys can do it. No man can do it. And here's a moment of decision for Daniel. I don't think he had to make a decision because I think it was already made, but there was a moment of decision. Daniel is now standing before the king. Nobody else can tell the king what his dream was. Daniel's got the answer. And what's Daniel going to do with the answer? You know what he could have done? He could have said, "Yep, those guys over there, they're dumb as a bunch of rocks. They're a bunch of false prophets. That's a bunch of idiots. That's a bunch of morons. I got the answer for you, king. I'm the smart one in this group." And he could have promoted himself and said, "Yes, king, I've got the answer for you." But we know Daniel, right? Daniel's a man who's faithful. Daniel, the man faithful in chapter 1 to humble himself before God and be obedient to God, even in an evil culture, is not the kind of man that's going to promote himself when God finally lifts him up. And so Daniel, in this moment, he says this, "But there is a God in heaven who reveals secrets." He pointed to the Creator. "And he has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will be in the latter days. Your dream and the visions of your head upon your bed were these." Daniel took this time to promote God and not himself. He took the time to make sure that God got the glory. He continues, "As for you, O king, thoughts came to your mind while on your bed about what would come to pass after this. And he who reveals secrets has made known to you what will be. But as for me, this secret has not been revealed to me because I have more wisdom than anyone living, but for our sakes who make known the interpretation to the king. that you may know the thoughts of your heart." Daniel's like, I didn't do this because I'm smart, I'm wise, I'm special. This happened because God gave it to me. This is all God's glory. And God cares about us, and God didn't want you to kill me. So God told me what the dream was so that you wouldn't kill me and my friends. Oh, and by the way, God wants you to know what's going to happen in the future as well. My friend, God cares. God should get the credit. How often do we give God the credit? How often do we take the credit for ourselves? 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31 says, "Therefore, whatever you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the what? The glory of God." Eat or drink, the mundane things of this life, all of it should be done to honor and glorify your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. All of it should be done to honor and glorify your Creator, because you wouldn't even be able to breathe were it not for God. Colossians chapter 3, "And whatever you do in word, and the things you say, or indeed your speech and your actions, you do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." Oh, my friend, how often do we fail to speak in order to give God the credit He is due? How often do we take the things that God has given us so graciously and we've consumed them for our own self and our own purposes, and we fail to give God credit, whether it's at home in our private prayer life or whether it's at work or whether it is at church? How often do we fail to worship God and give Him the honor, the glory, and the credit that is due Him? Daniel made sure that not only was he faithful to do what God said in chapter 1, he was faithful to point everything back to God in chapter 2. We must live a life pointing to Jesus Christ, because God is speaking to the lost out there, and God wants them to know Jesus the way you know Jesus, and God wants us to point them to Jesus Christ. Well, Daniel says, "You, O king, were watching, and behold, a great image. This great image, whose splendor was excellent, stood before you, and its form was awesome. The image head was of fine gold, its chest and arms of silver, its belly and thighs of bronze, its legs of iron, its feet partly of iron and partly of clay. You watched while a stone was cut out without hands, which struck the image on its feet of iron and clay and broke them in pieces. Then the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, and the gold were crushed together and became like chaff from the summer threshing floors. The wind carried them away so that no trace of them was found. And the stone that struck the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. This is the dream. Now we will tell the interpretation of it before the king." And in the next section, Daniel tells him the interpretation of this dream that he had of this great image. And we're not going to dwell a whole lot on the prophecy here. We'll talk more about this later in the book of Daniel when we get there. And we will talk about prophecy in more detail. But we will not make our focus, entire focus, on prophecy of the future, because there's so much more in the book of Daniel than the prophecies. But the interpretation is this. He gives him this image, and you can find images like this when you Google search. I did a ton of searching for images, looking for a good one. To be very careful, there's a ton of images out there, and there's a ton of opinions, and most of it out there that I found was just not correct. But this is just kind of gives us an example of what we think that Nebuchadnezzar had seen. The four images, right? The gold, the silver, the bronze, the iron, and clay. Each in descending order, each an inferior. God was telling Nebuchadnezzar this, that Nebuchadnezzar, you're the head of gold. Like, you're the best of the best. Your empire is going to be the best of the best. And we know that the Babylonian Empire ruled and reigned 605 when they conquered Jerusalem to 538, I believe it is, 539 B.C. But after Babylon rose up, the Mede and Persian Empire, the Median Persian Empire rose up, and in 539, they defeated Babylon and Belshazzar. We will read about that in Daniel chapter 5. And from 539 until 331, the Medes and the Persians were the dominant world empire. But in 331, Greece came along at the Battle of Gaugamela, and they destroyed the Persian Empire. And Greece was the dominant empire from 331 until about 168 BC, before Jesus. And then in around 168, through a series of Macedonian wars, the Roman Empire eventually conquered Greece. And the Roman Empire ruled the world from about 168 before Jesus until about the year 426 after Jesus. And then around 426, the Roman Empire ceased to exist. And that is the legs of iron and clay. And since the time of Roman Empire's fall, there has not been another world empire. But those legs and those feet are two parts. The second part of those is a future world empire that is to come. Some call this the revived Roman Empire. Whatever name they call it, what we know is this, because we get more detail in the book of Revelation and later in Daniel. And the Revelation and Daniel go hand in hand. You study them together. And I am praying about, after experiencing God, maybe we do the class on Daniel and Revelation. But anyway, these feet, they represent a future world empire. This future world empire, we're told in the book of Revelation, Satan controls the world through the Antichrist. And while he controls the world, once again, he's going to try to destroy Israel. Because remember, the book of Daniel is about God's relationship to Israel, Israel's relationship to the world. So the prophecies relate to Israel. And so what God is telling Nebuchadnezzar, there's going to be four more empires after you. But see, the key is the stone cut out without hands or made by God that comes. And what does it do? It hits the feet of the statue. And it crushes that statue. And that statue's crumbled, it's crushed, it became like chaff, and it is blown away and it is gone forever. The Bible tells us that one day at the end of times, when Satan and his forces are the final world empire, Jesus Christ is going to come and he is going to crush them and destroy them, and this world will be no more. And then Jesus will rule and he will reign for 1,000 years on this earth. The things of this world are temporary and they will be destroyed. That is the point of this prophecy. Well, Daniel continues. Inasmuch as you saw that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it broke in pieces the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God has made known to the king what will come to pass after this. The dream is certain and its interpretation is sure. In other words, God said it. It's going to happen because God's word cannot fail. God cannot lie. And Daniel said, King, you can be sure that this is going to happen. This is what's coming in the future. My friend, God cares about you. And because he cares about you, he's told you and he's told me and he's told all of us that there's going to come a time when the kingdoms of this world will fall. That is the main point of the prophecy. The kingdoms of this world will be crushed and destroyed, and God will rule and will reign. Jesus will rule and reign on this earth for 1,000 years. So whose kingdom do you want to build? If you're building your own little kingdom, I promise you, your kingdom will fall one day. Your kingdom is temporary. You and I need to be building into the kingdom of God, the thing that is eternal and that will last for all eternity. The things of this world that we put so much emphasis on, they will be gone someday. And I'm not opposed to hobbies and having fun and all of that. You know that. But we need to understand and we need to pray and think with an eternal mindset that there is coming a day where this world will be gone. And we all have lost and dying friends and family and loved ones. And we need to share the gospel with them. We need to be like Daniel, who told the truth to the king. And so Daniel reveals the prophecy. The king knows that what Daniel says is true, because all along the king had remembered the dream. And so when the king remembers hears the dream and he hears the interpretation, he knows that it is true. And here's how he responded. Then King Nebuchadnezzar fell on his face, prostrate before Daniel, and commanded that they should present an offering and incense to him. Can you imagine? How moved must the king of the world have been to fall prostrate in front of one of his servants? Think about it. One of the president's advisors come, and I don't care who the president is. One of his advisors walks in, gives him a piece of advice, and the president is so moved, he bows down in front of his advisor. Can you picture that? Never happened, would it? But that's how moved King Nebuchadnezzar was when God spoke to him and when Daniel revealed the truth to him. What a powerful moment that must have been. And this is what he said. The king answered Daniel and said, "Truly your God is the God of gods, the Lord of kings, and a revealer of secrets, since you could reveal this secret." God spoke to Nebuchadnezzar because he cared. And because Daniel was faithful in chapter 1, he had an opportunity to speak to the king in chapter 2 and tell the king, God cares about you. And Daniel speaking to Nebuchadnezzar revealed to Nebuchadnezzar what God was saying, and it brought Nebuchadnezzar to his knees. Now, Nebuchadnezzar is not a Christian in our way of thinking at this point. And there is debate as to whether or not he becomes a Christian. We'll talk about that when we get there. But he is on his way. He has now acknowledged the truth about God and who he is. What a powerful, powerful moment that had to have been. And what a powerful moment it is. Oh, I've had the privilege and honor to witnessing to people and hear them come to know Jesus as Savior. What a humbling and powerful thing that is. That when God speaks and God allows you or God allows me to plant gospel seeds and God allows you and me to walk with that person to their journey of knowing Jesus Christ. And that is something that we should be praying for. As Rob comes and gets ready. In 1 Peter chapter 5, Peter says, "Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you," when? In due time. Humble yourself in chapter 1 like Daniel before God. And then he will exalt you in chapter 2 when it is the right time. And while you're doing that, he says this, "Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you." Whatever stuff you got going on in your life, God cares about it. Whatever trouble you're facing tomorrow that you're already dreading, God cares about it. Whatever thing that happened yesterday that's still weighing on your heart, God cares about it. And God has spoken to it in His Word. And God will speak to you if you will humble yourself before Him. May you and I humble ourselves before God. And cast all of our stuff, all of our anxiety, all of our fears, all of our hurt, all of our anguish on God because He cares for us. And let us continue to pray for those in our lives that God is speaking to, that you and I can be like a Daniel and say, it's not about me, but here's what God has to say. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? If you're here today, maybe you don't know what it means to have love, joy, and peace in your life because you've never experienced that God cares about you. There's never been a moment in your life where you've surrendered your heart, your soul, your mind to Jesus Christ and accepted Him the Lord and Savior. Romans chapter 10 says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. If you're here today and you've not done that, I pray today is that day. Let us show you the way. But if you're here today and you're a Christian, but you know, I don't find myself experiencing that love and joy and peace that I once had or that I see others experiencing. I don't show up with the joy of the house of the Lord like others. May you humble yourself before God and surrender to Him. Give Him your cares, your anxieties. Give Him your sin. Confess it. Turn from it. And discover the mercy and the grace and the forgiveness that comes through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and His shed blood on the cross. If God has spoken to you today, come to the altar and pray. come to our prayer board and pray. We have tons of people on that board that need prayer for salvation. If God has spoken to you, you come. God in heaven, thank you for all that you've done for us. Thank you that you have spoken into this world and that you do care. I pray in these next few moments that we will humble ourselves before you. In Christ's name we pray. Let's all stand with heads bowed. As Rob sings, "You Come."
Hi, and thank you for watching. I trust that the sermon blessed you, encouraged you, and inspired you to take your next step of faith. Please click the like and share button on our YouTube page. And if you're in the area, come visit us. Sunday mornings, 11 a.m. We would love to see you. I believe you will find us to be a warm and welcoming people. We just want to love God and love people. And check out our website, summitvillechurch.org. That's summitvillechurch.org. Over there, you can learn more about us. You can check out past sermons. You can also check out future events and things that we have coming up. And we also have a give button. And would you pray about giving to our ministry so we can continue to expand and grow so we can reach more people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Summitville First Baptist Church exists to share the love of Jesus, to bring new life and hope to broken and hurting people. God bless you and have a great day.